My mouth is healing quite well. I had those three teeth removed, and I tell you what a blessing that was to have them things taken out. I mean, I was kind of worried about how it was going to go, but man, them people there are really, really good. I let them pull all my teeth, you know. Anyway, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 16 this morning, and it's going to Luke chapter 16. We're going to read a few verses. And Luke, would you pray for the service, please, buddy?
Dear Father, I just want to say thank you for thank you for the day, thank you for all the missionaries. Pray for the day when it's finished. Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to preach on missing the miracle here while you're turning. As many are missing the miracle, and I'm not talking about missing salvation, but not seeing or recognizing what Jesus has done or is doing. Not giving him glory and honor and thanks for what he has done. Most are getting what they want and forgetting where they got it. You know, today, this morning, I'm going to just give a little lesson on saved people and what they're doing. They're missing the miracle. They're missing what really has happened to them. You know, they'll go and have problems and such, and they just totally forget that Jesus Christ came in to save them. He brought them from a life of sin and a life of misery, and they're forgetting about the miracle that he's done inside of them. And they've become unthankful and such. But anyway, so I'm going to read here in Luke 17, verses 12 through 18, and it says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers." So you would see these people have leprosy. "Which stood afar off," verse 13, "and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass as they went, that they were cleansed. And one of them, when he had saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found. They were not found to give glory to God, save this stranger.'" So we see there was 10 men who had leprosy, and they come up there, and they realize that Jesus is God and that he could heal them. And they reached out for him, and they got that healing. And when the one guy realized that, hey, what he got, he went back and he became thankful to Jesus Christ. He fell on his feet at Jesus Christ because he was healed. But Jesus says, "Weren't there 10? Where's the other 9? Only one come back." And I believe it's a picture of what's going on in our churches today, is that people are getting salvation. They're getting the miracle of a new life. And you know what they're doing? They're forgetting about Jesus Christ. They're not coming back. They're not being thankful for where he's brought them from to where he's at. I think people get caught up in the moment. I think sometimes God needs to help us reflect on where he's brought us from. You know, Paul was in the church, at a church, and he says, and he starts listing off all these things, and he said, "And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were forgiven." Remember where you come from when you're sitting there and you're trying to, the Lord asked you to talk to somebody or work with somebody, and you want to shun them. Remember where you came from. Remember what has happened to you. Remember the miracle of salvation that happened to you in your life. And, you know, are you giving thanks to God every day? Are you opening your Bible? Are you thanking him at meals? Are you thanking him at school? Are you praying for the food that he's giving you at school? You know, are you at home? Are you picking up your Bible and reading it because of what he's given you? Because, like I try to teach my kids, is there's people out there, there's parents, their children only have one parent living in the house. And, they're getting cussed at and sworn at, and, their parents are alcoholics and drug addicts. And I tell my children, I said, "You guys should be thankful that you have a mom and a dad. Number two, you should be thankful that you have saved parents who love the Lord and who wants to teach you the way the Lord wants to teach you." You see, we become unthankful. And so we see here physically that these 10 got a miracle. But spiritually and mentally, they did not glorify God. They went about with their life and bragged about what happened to them and what they did, not the Lord. You see, they were bragging on what they've done. on what their accomplishments are, and they have forgotten to thank the Lord. I get myself caught up in that. Well, yeah, I did this, and I did that, and I did this. You know, I forget to give glory to God for the one who really worked that miracle in my life. He's the one who gave me that miracle. I should be glorifying him and not everything that I've done, but what has he done? And that's what these lepers done. They all got healed. One came back to give thanks. The other nine went out glorifying what they have done, and they've done nothing. If it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be saved. How can we become unthankful? Let's continue on here. It says, how many of us, after salvation, go on in our lives and miss the miracle that Jesus has done and is doing in our lives? We miss what he has done and give glory to ourselves and what we have done and glorify not God. Romans 1:21 says, Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This verse is clear that who Paul is talking to, they knew God. They were not strangers to who he was. They knew the works that he has done, even in our own lives, but yet, as in the nine did in Luke, these chose not to give glory to God for what he has done. And I'm telling you now, we find ourselves in that place more and more, more and more. A little bit of trouble will come in our lives, and what's the first thing we do? We get angry with God. We forget what he has done. We forget the prayers that he has answered for us. We forget the things that he's done for us. We forget where he has brought us from, and we start trying to revert back to what we've done. And when we go back to what we've done, we can see clearly. I know for me, I'll speak for myself, clearly for the last 40 years, I could never run my life. That's obvious to a duck that I couldn't do it. I needed Jesus Christ in my life. But who am I being thankful to? Am I forgetting about what he's done for me? Am I not retaining God in my knowledge? Am I not, like this says here, because that when they knew God, these people knew God, Romans 1:21 says. It's not like they didn't know who he was. They knew who God was. It says they glorified him not as God. They glorified him not as God. And they became vain in their imaginations. That means everything they were striving for and working for were all vain. It was useless. Their imaginations were useless. Why? Because they forgot about God. They forgot to glorify him as God. And it says here that that their hearts were darkened. And it's very clear that they knew God, but they just did not want to glorify him. God turned them over to what? What's it say he turned them over to? Vain imaginations. And they became fools, and their hearts became dark. Fools. That's what happens when people forget about God. When they forget about the thankfulness, when they forget about the miracle he's done, they become as foolish people. Listen, if you're not meditating on God and praying to him and reading your Bible and stuff like that, you'll become like you used to be. You'll become that fool again. Because you'll start taking your vain imaginations and you'll start wandering off this way. And God's trying to warn you, no, stay on this path. Stay here. You know, I went to go visit Pastor Lou yesterday. And, you know, I've been struggling with some things. And he just came out and out of nowhere, he just said, don't worry about what others are doing, Dale. You go out there and do what God told you to do. And I needed to hear that. Because in my vain imaginations, because I haven't been glorifying God, because in my vain imaginations, I'm trying to walk off on this path here, and all it's doing is messing me up. I try to teach my children, hey, let's not worry about what people think of you. And yeah, I walked around that way for a long time, worrying about what people thought of me. Because I've gotten in my vein. Why? Because I've become unthankful. When is the last time anybody in this room has really thanked God for what he's done in our life? Really, when's the last time? You think about it, and that's what he's talking about there. Because they glorified him not as God. Are we not to glorify God for what he's done in our life, for what he's given us? Yeah, times are hard and so on and so forth. But you know why those hard times come? Number one, it's either to get something out of your life, to show you something about yourself, or he's trying to teach you how to believe and trust in him. That's a hard thing. That's a hard lesson to learn, is to put your total faith and trust in him and let him handle the things that you think that you there's no help for, so we're done. It's how are we going to get out of this? And God's trying to teach you a lesson. Put it in his hands. Ever wonder why people who got saved or had God work in their life and then turn their back on God and wonder why their life is being destroyed? You hear of how many Christians today, their lives absolutely being destroyed. Why? Because God has tried so hard to get their attention. He's tried so hard to show them, listen, you're going on the wrong way. But you know, they've taken their vain imaginations and they went the total opposite way and their lives are being destroyed. Christians, saved people. God's trying to bring them to a place of repentance because the Bible says, if you live by the flesh, you shall what? Die by the flesh. That's to a Christian. God's either number one, when you're doing something wrong he don't like, he's either going to bring you to a place of repentance or he's going to kill you. He's going to take you off the face of this earth. That's what it says for a Christian. So many lives are being destroyed and God's trying to open their eyes for them to see. Look. Because he doesn't want his people dead. He wants them to go out there and live a good, happy life. And go out there and testify and witness. They glorify God for not what he's done. They missed a miracle. Luke 9. You turn with me to Luke 9. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to go to verse 62. Luke 9:62 says, and Jesus said unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of the kingdom of God. Forgetting what God has done for us and then turning back to our old ways, God says those are not fit for the kingdom. And what he's saying there is, when God saved you, there's no sense in looking back. There's no sense in turning back that way. You've got that plow in your hand and you're going forward. You're breaking that ground up. You're breaking that path up. He says, there's no sense of going back. There's no sense of turning around and looking back. You go forward and you keep reaching for what? The kingdom of God. Autumn, I hope you're awake. He says, none of that, you aren't fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're so worried about when you grab that plow, you were happy. You're ready to break that fallow ground up and you're ready to go where God wanted to send you. And all of a sudden, times of trouble and so on, you're ready to turn back. I mean, I know I'm guilty of that. But I got to remember to grab that plow and keep going forward. I can't go backwards. I thank God that he gives us reminders. Seeing Pastor Lou yesterday was a reminder for me. In Hebrews 6, go to Hebrews 6 for me, please. Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, we're going to start in verse 4. Hebrews 6, 4. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again to repentance. What he's saying is, is it possible that once you've tasted the goodness of God for you to want to turn your back? I know, you know, we go through hard times and it feels like I just don't know how much more I can take. But I know that it's impossible for me to ever go back to who I used to be. I wouldn't want to go back that way. I wouldn't want nothing to do with it. And I believe that God will take me off of this earth before he lets me ever get that back that far. Now, he'll turn me over to myself and let me go a little bit of ways. But here it says it's impossible for those who have once been enlightened. You know why we have to be enlightened? The gospel of the light. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine upon them. We've been enlightened. We've been the covers have been taken off our eyes. We no longer are seeing the darkness now. We're seeing the light. That's who we belong to, those who are in the light. We are the light. So we've been enlightened. He says it's impossible for them to turn back. But you become unthankful. You become unthankful for what God has done and what he's doing, and you will start to turn back. You will go back to your old ways. You will try to get back there, and God's trying to give you a warning. Don't go that way. Remind them of the love of God. If you see somebody who's getting trapped in this, remind them of the love of God. Show them what he has done in their lives. Encourage them that they might repent, which is to turn back to God from their ways to his ways. And a lot of times God needs to remind us, hey, remember that? Remember that back there? Remember where you came from? Get it right. Get your life back in order. Do what you think, do what you know is right. Get in my Bible. Get in here and read. Get in there and study. Get in there and do what you're told. Move forward. Stop staying. A lot of people get stagnant. When you become unfaithful, you become stagnant as all get up. You know, remember it says, return me unto the joy of thy salvation. Remember, go back to that day. Think on that day when you got saved and the joy of that salvation. Go back to that day and think, my goodness. Get yourself excited again. Repent. Lord, forgive me. That's all I've been doing is wrong. I've been going the wrong way. I've become vain in my imaginations. I'm going back. I'm trying to take that plow and I'm trying to turn it around. And you're not letting me. Lord, why? Because you say it's impossible for me to go back that way. Remember your day. Remember the day of salvation. Remember the joy that you had that day. Repent. Turn back. Get away from what you were doing. And go back to doing what God says. And that's what kind of Pastor Lou told me yesterday. Don't worry about what other people are doing. You get out there and do what God wants you to do. He just shared some good stories with us about the things that he went through and so on. And he said, I just had to come to a point. Well, I couldn't worry about what other people were doing. I had to do what God wanted me to do. Deuteronomy 32, verses 5 and 6 says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and a crooked generation. Do you this requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he the Father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? These are his people, and he's saying, this is the things that you're doing to me. He's talking to his chosen people. And you know what they're doing? They're turning their back on him. After he got them out of Egypt and delivered them and so on, and gave them everything they needed and so on and so forth, they're turning their back on him. And it says here, requite. It means to make repayment or return. That's the return you're giving God for what he's done for you. He's sitting there in Deuteronomy saying, after all I've done to you, this is my payment back to me? This is what you're going to do to me? And God's sitting in heaven today, he's sitting there, and he's looking down upon the Christians and going, I saved you, and this is what you're doing to me? This is my payment for saving you? This is what I'm getting for saving you? And he says, Deuteronomy 32:6, the Lord asks, is this how you're going to repay me for all that I've done? You're going to be unthankful and ungrateful, complain, and forget to glorify me for what I've done for you? Am I the Father that bought you, made you, established you, and this is what I get back? Oh, how grateful we have become, and we have missed the miracle of what he is doing in our lives. This is what you're going to do to me? After everything I've done for you, this is my payment. This is what Christians are doing to God today after he saves them and, I mean, changes their lives and they're going in a whole new direction they never thought possible, and then that's how they repay him. Becoming unthankful. Becoming spotted with the world. You know, it's so hard to tell Christians anymore these days because they are so fitting in with the world. It used to be that we lived separate. Not stuck up, not holier than thou, but we lived a separate life where people could say, there's something different about that person. What's different about him? But Christians today, we've camouflaged ourselves with the world. We've spotted ourselves with the world. We've become unthankful. We don't want that separation anymore. Why? Because you know why? We're rejected. But you know, in all reality, we're not rejected. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. They're not rejecting us. But it's a hard pill to swallow when you're face-to-face with that person. They want nothing to do with you. They don't want no help that you have to offer. But you know what? They're not rejecting you. That's a lesson the Lord showed me 2 weeks ago. They're not rejecting you, Dale. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. That's who they're rejecting. Have we forgotten? 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It should never be about what we have done, but always about what Jesus has done and what he's doing. We should live our lives to please him and not ourselves. How thankful are we really? We're getting saved, but missing the miracle of what he's doing. He bought us with his blood. He paid the cost for our souls. Should we not be thankful and live our lives for what he has done? You know, when I was going over this message yesterday, I sat there and I said, man, he paid with his life. He paid with his blood. How much does that really mean to people sitting in this room this morning? That's what he gave up for you. That's what he got. He had to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Got beat, his back torn up. I mean, spit on, beard ripped out. He done all that. How much does that mean to anybody sitting in this room this morning? That's what he paid for you. He bought you with that suffering. He bought you with the price of shedding his blood. That he bought you with the soul going into hell to take your sins there to be raised again for your justification. How much does that mean? Because in America, Christians have become very unthankful. Christians have put God on the back burner. Christians are afraid to stand up for God. They're ashamed of who God is. They're ashamed of what their life has become. They don't want to stand up for it. They don't want people to pick him out and go, ah, look, that's a Christian. But yet, Jesus Christ took all that upon himself for us. And we can become unthankful. So very easy. We've missed the miracle. We're missing the miracle. We're not understanding what he's really done. We're not understanding the price that he really had to pay to save each and every soul in here. Each and every individual soul that's in this room, he had to pay that price for. How much does that mean to you? When's the last time you thought about it? Was that left behind? Did you leave that behind when you got saved and just started walking and just left that behind? That means you're unthankful. That means you're not grateful for what he's done in your life. You know, as they did in the book of Deuteronomy, all they did was complain and murmur. That's all they did, his own people. After everything he's done, you go back and you read the Old Testament and look, every time God stepped in and every time he delivered them and gave them what they needed and so on, all they did was complain the more. And that's how Christians are today. God has given them everything that they need. That's a single, N-E-E-D, not with an S. He's given them everything they need and yet complain. Don't trust him, murmur, complain, get angry with him, turn their backs on him, and everything else. That's where we find ourselves in Christianity. How do I know that? Because I'm guilty of it. Guilty. Guilty. It's stuff that I have to learn. And you know what I can't do? I can't leave it here when I leave, Brother Kerry. I got to bring that stuff home. I have to live that. You know why? The Bible says if you preach the gospel, you have to live the gospel. What's that? So if you're going to go out there and I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I'm going to have to live that. Well, what's that mean? I need to be thankful. I need to understand that where he's brought me from and where he's trying to bring me to. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fall. That's human. But am I being thankful for his forgiveness? Am I confessing 1 John 1:9? Am I recognizing the sins that I'm caught up in? And am I telling him that I'm sorry and I'm really trying to get rid of this thing? Or are those just words to me now? You know, I preached last week at 1 o'clock service, or 2 weeks ago, about the difference between knowing a verse and believing a verse. You can know all the verses in the world, and it's going to do you zero good. It's the believing of the verses that will move in your life. If you believe what these verses are telling you, it will do something in your life. It will accomplish something. Why? Because he said, my word won't return unto me void. It will accomplish what he wants. That's what it says. Well, how does that happen? Because people have to get over just knowing the verses. They have to start believing them. You start believing in these verses, and I'm telling you now, it's life-changing. That's the power that's behind it. He spoke it, and it will happen. But you have to believe it. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is the famous verse that everybody uses. But then you read the very next line, it says, how can they believe? How can they call upon whom they don't believe? They know who Jesus Christ was, but they don't believe who he was. They know that there's a word of God, but they don't believe what's in the word of God. They believe God is all-powerful and almighty, and he's everything. He's formed the heavens and this earth, but he can't preserve a perfect Bible. You see? There's no belief. There's no belief today. And I believe that's where we as Christians are getting ourselves all mixed up. Do we really believe the Bible? Do we? Our life is going to reflect that. How we live, how we think, the decisions we make. That is all. Listen, and it's okay. If you don't believe everything in the Bible, then just go out and get it right with God and start believing what it says in the Bible. It will make a huge difference in your life. I didn't just jump in one day and go, okay, I believe the Bible, I believe God. It didn't happen to me. I had 40 years worth of crud and crumb and scum and everything else that God had to get through. He had to break up that fallow ground and give me a new heart before I started believing and seeing and understanding. God proved himself to me for 3.5 years before I got saved. He proved himself to me. He proved that his word was right and that it was true. And then I started believing. That's when I got saved. But he had to break that up. Today, somebody can't sit in the church lost. Because somebody wants to jump on him and try to lead him through a prayer. God's not there yet. God's not there yet. He's got to get there and break that stuff up. Could you imagine? Somebody after 40 years of living the way I did, all of a sudden just believes in God? No. God says, come, let's reason together. He strove with me. I had to get in there, and he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I had to diligently get in that Bible and understand seeing what God wanted to show me. But here's another thing. I couldn't run away from what God was showing me, because if I ran away from it, it would never work. I had to face it. And then the belief comes in. And then I started believing, man, this guy, man, whoever wrote this book knows what they're talking. They know me. I understood that. Pastor said that all the time, and for the first time I understood. Well, yeah, he's right. Whoever wrote this book really understands. He knows a human being. You know, God gave us the pleasure of having children. But they don't come up with instruction manuals. But God, to his children, his Christian children, he gave us an instruction manual that sits right there. When's the last time anybody in this room said, hey, Lord, thank you for that Bible. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving me the instructions that I needed to make it here on earth. Thank you for that. It's time that we get back to thanking Jesus for what he has done and what he is doing in our lives. As saved people, we become unthankful and glorify not God. But he tells us to look at him and remember what he's doing. Turn with me, if you would, to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, we're going to go to start 2 through 5. Titus 3. It says, Titus chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes, sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts, that means many different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by what? The washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He says, you were all this at one time. You had all that hate and bitterness, and you had all these different pleasures and lust in your life, and all this stuff was going on. But he says, they came in and he washed you. He regenerated you. He gave you a new life. He gave you something to look forward to. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He gave you power with that. Romans 15:13. Says that you'll have peace and joy in believing. Why? Because he's the God of all hope. The God of hope, all hope, will give you peace and joy in believing with the from the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. And he says, aren't you thankful? Because at one time, it says to speak evil of no man, to be brawlers, to be gentle, showing meekness to all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's who we were. That's the type of person you were. You may not have been outwardly a violent person like some of us, like I used to be, that got in trouble and had a rap sheet, but inward you hated. Inward you were a murderer inside your heart. And he says, you were that way. You were that person. But you've been washed. You've been changed. You've been given power of the Holy Ghost to live a different life. How thankful are you for the life he's given you today? It's hard, it's hard to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful when you're at the lowest that you've been in a long time. I'm not talking about being out there drinking and drugging and, committing crimes and all that. But I'll tell you, you get some low spots in your life, in the Christian life, where you just you made some wrong decisions, and now guess who has to pay that price? Who is paying that price for me, the decisions that I've made over the last few years? Who's paying that price, Amy? There's four of us right here that's paying the price. Two things can happen. We can either stay on trail, grab that plow and keep going, or it can become unthankful, bitter, and hate God. Blame him for everything when it was our decision. You see? Are you missing the miracle? Do you remember where he's brought you from? But it says, but after his kindness and love, according to his mercy, it's been his kindness, it's been his love, it's according to his mercy and the washing and renewing that we should give glory to him and stop missing that miracle. These are the things he's given us. It doesn't say we gave those to him. He's given them to us. You know, all these other people out there who's with these perverted versions in church, guess what? They're trying to give God mercy. I heard somebody say something the other day just about made me fall out my... I was sitting in the truck, backseat of my truck. He said, all you have to do is love God and he'll love you back. That's all it takes. Really? They're missing it. That miracle has totally went over their head. They have no understanding whatsoever. The person just came out and said, hey, I pray our Father 25 times a day. That's what he told me. What's that doing? Show me where it says to pray the Our Father 25 times a day. They missed it. They have no understanding of it. And you know what? They don't want understanding. But you know what? Each and every one of us in this room were those type of persons. We had a belief in God. Or if we didn't, we were our own gods. And we were living exactly like Titus said. Hateful, hurtful, bitter, lustful, envy, haters of people. That's how we lived. He said, but you've been washed. You know what's going to happen to people like I just described to you? You know what's going to happen? He says they have to be enlightened. With what? The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, how are they ever going to be enlightened? Because if you're not living the gospel, they'll never see it in you. They'll never see Jesus Christ. They'll never see past Amy. They'll never see you past you, Brother Carey. They'll never see past you, Adam. They'll never see past Dale Morey. But you know what they need to do? They need to see past each and every one of us, and they need to see Jesus Christ and not us. One thing you guys who know about me is I don't avoid what's going on in our life. I'll let you know straight up. Why? Because I want you to know what true Christianity is, what real Christianity is, what they really go through. I would never want to deceive you, ever. I tell my Sunday school class, you ever want to know anything about my life, just ask me. I'll tell you, because I don't ever want to deceive you. A Christian life, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's joyous. We have joy even through hard times, peace and all that. But I'm going to tell you, it's a hard time. There's tough times, man. It ain't always walking through the garden. Smelling the roses and everything else. It ain't always that. But I know this. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Why? Because all of our brothers and sisters go through them. We all have to go through them. Isaiah talks about it. God tells him. He goes, I'll never find you as silver, but the fiery furnace of affliction. Why is he putting us through affliction? For his own good. For his sakes, he says. Not for Dale Morey's sake, for God's sake. Why? Because he doesn't want me polluting his name. That's what it says. Go read it. But after his kindness, his love, according to his mercy, washing and renewing, we should give glory to God and stop missing the miracle. Be thankful for what he's done. Stop and look back where he has brought you from. It will bring rejoicing, peace, joy to realize what he's really done. Do me a favor this week. Go home and think about what God has really done for you. Go look back at the last 10 years. Go look back at the last 5 years of your life. And look where you were 5 years ago to where you are today. Just think about that. Ponder on that, because I know I'm going to. The Lord just gave me that idea just now. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to think, where was I 5 years ago? I can tell you this now. 5 years ago, I wasn't born again yet. 5 years ago, I was still walking around feeling hopeless. 5 years ago, I thought, man, there's no hope for me in my life whatsoever. I felt like I was walking around in a black hole. I'm just telling you, she'll tell you. I really didn't think there was any hope for me whatsoever 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we were probably living in the yellow house. We were living in the yellow house 5 years ago. And you want to talk about struggling then? But we didn't have Jesus at this point. And it was rough. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, 5 years ago, I was still looking at pornography. I was still addicted to it. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. I think I had a few beers with the landlord and all that. We used to drink on the back porch with him. That was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, my son was afraid of me. Just telling you, that's just me. I can sit back and sit here and think of 5 years ago how bad it really was for me. And how unthankful have I become. I've forgotten about the miracle that Jesus Christ done in my life. Brother, would you pray for us, Carrie?